episode 13 of RTFD Tales of Piracy, the countdown to Mongolos. I am your DM, Nick Smith, and as always, we have Todd Blackburn.
Arr, Slayer here.
We have Max Garner.
Yo, yo, playing Golan, as always.
And Patrick Kelly.
Howdy, playing Yurite. Did you know rats test fried dough?
Mine is, ride them fat ducks.
So, as always, let's start us off with a recap of what happened. Last time, the crew started off with taking a short rest on their way to the Yuan-Ti pits to rescue Zebrith, Claw, and Grim, who have all gone missing recently. You all had tracked the clues for Mereruru to notice that Zebrith had left to go after Claw and Grim, who went to the Yuan-Ti pits for a job. They had never returned. Zebrith went after them. You learned this and went after Zebrith. While resting, eventually Krolten caught up with the group and had something for the group overall. He had the two bags of holding from Grog, the Goliath from the market district, for him and Yurite. He also had 6 vials of an anti-venom given to him by Mereruru, and all she said was, "You'll know when to use them when you know." You then all headed out towards the temple where Yurite and Golan collected the berries. After some investigating and looking around and finding Zebrith's headband around the pits, you guys eventually found a small little platform into the pit that descended into stairs. You guys followed those stairs, spiraling deeper and deeper into the pit. Eventually got too dark to see, to which Krolten lit a torch, which proceeded to light every torch along the way using means of magic. And eventually you guys reached the bottom of the pit, where what was assumedly an empty pit was actually full of several Yuan-Ti guard. And you guys were attacked and ambushed. You quickly dispersed them, though, as combat is something you are all used to at this point. Eventually you guys found your way to another seemingly empty room, with a knife on a stone tablet and 4 snake statues. Golan accidentally triggered a trap that very quickly shut the door, locking out Yurite and Krolten, but locking in Golan and Slayer as poisonous mist started filling the room. Lucky for Golan, though, Slayer went up to one of the statues and turned it in just the right way to activate a hose to clear out the room instead and unlock the door. Yep, Slayer was the one to actually solve the puzzle. You guys ventured further, checked out an empty room and just kind of looked in it, and from the last room kind of scarred, you guys decided not to go inside. But eventually you found yourselves to a grouping of vines that, after trying to cut through, discovered was full of snakes. So you guys decided to just clear the path as you went along. You were bit by some snakes at some points, but mostly the snakes, vines, and all that were chopped down with ease. You eventually found your way to the throne room, or the ritual room. Inside the ritual room was a fully scaled Yuan-Ti Mind Whisperer and a Yuan-Ti Pitmaster, a man with many snakes for arms. Very quickly, they put the group in their place when they counterspelled Golan's fireball and shocked everyone in that moment. The Mind Whisperer started making sacrifices as you guys started to deal with the Pitmaster and the giant stone snake that was in the room as well, moving around. That was the layer actions. Eventually, you guys gained the upper hand and killed not only the Pitmaster, but put the Mind Whisperer in a tough spot. He'd only finished half of his ritual and transformed into an abomination of a Yuan-Ti. You guys all ganged up on him and started laying into him, and Golan woke up Grim in his decisive first movement. And then after 3 nat 20s, 2 from Krolten, 1 from Golan, you guys laid heavy chunks into the abomination, only for Grim to walk over and put the punctuation mark on the conversation with his great axe going across its body. But as it died, this black energy enveloped it and condensed it into a shard. Yurite collected it, and you guys woke up everyone else, i.e. Zebrith and Claw, and you guys eventually left the Yuan-Ti pits, headed back to safety, reunited with the crew. It was a happy, joyous moment for everyone, and that is where we left off, with you all having a good night in the Crooked Feather with the crew of the Huntsman all together for a change. Every other night, people haven't always been there, but this was one of the first nights that the whole Huntsman was together. They were having a good time, and you guys wake up the next morning refreshed. Now, what we're going to be doing is you guys have 9 days or 1 week till the festival begins. This is the first official major downtime you guys will be having as players. First, I'll be telling you guys what each crew member of significance will be doing. Zebrith and Ella are going to be spending their entire time together. Zebrith is kind of shaken from the whole thing. They're mostly going to be shopping in the crafting district and spending time at the beach and on the edges of the jungle. Biff and Gert are going to be keeping up with the fight pit in the gambling district. That is what they will be doing the entire week up until the Mogolos Festival. So if you ever need them, that's where you'll find them. Pitcher will be relaxing in the Crooked Feather and taking some much-needed time off, as he put it. Natter, all of them, they will all be kind of going about their own business. Natter mostly sleeps. Yarathnu really enjoys going to the crafting district and talking to the blacksmiths and everything like that. He seems very interested in their work. But now I'm going to turn to the rest of you. Start with Slayer. What would you like to do during your downtime?
I would like to train and get more proficient with my tail.
Okay. So, what would you like, let's say, the way downtime works is you have to do at least 8 hours of an activity for it to count, right? So, let's say during an average day, you can probably do two things, right? Or you can focus an entire day on one thing, and it will take half the time. What would you like to do, just more proficient with the tail? What are you thinking?
Yeah, more proficiency, and working on the poison.
Okay, so let me get athletic checks. This will be just for the sweeping overall 9 days to see how well you do with training with your tail.
15?
15, all right. You are training with your tail, and you're getting the hang of it, you know? Having a basically prehensile tail is very new to you. So over these next 9 days as you're training and you take time to make sure to test the stinger out every now and then, just get its piercing down pat, you actually realize you can rotate your tail to different types. You actually, at one point, when you rage, make a tail very similar to that of the Ankylosaurus. This one does bludgeoning damage. And you can add an additional D4 bludgeoning damage to hits with it. So you get another type of tail, and the poison. Now, we talked about this, you know, separate from everything. I worked up a system for you.
Okay.
You're going to do a roll for each day you do the poison. So if you would like to rest a day, that will reset certain things. On a 2 through a 5, you are poisoned for a full day, and you get a -2 to rolls, and there's a +2 to the difficulty rating for the next day. If you get a 5 to 10, you get a -1 to rolls, and a +1 to the DC for the difficulty rating. 11 to 15 is a +1 for rolls, and a -1 to DC. 16 to 19 is a +2 and a -2. And a 20/1 is a +/-3 to the rolls and a +/-3 to the DC as well. So on the first day, give me a constitution saving throw of stabbing yourself with your own poison.
A 10?
Okay, not the worst it could be, but you now get a -1 to your rolls for the next day, and the DC goes up by 1. It is now up to 20 for the DC. Just want to keep track of that. Okay, second day. Give me that constitution saving throw.
It's a minus what?
-1. That's cocked.
Oh, thank God. Uh, 11.
That's another fail. But that balances out from the last time. Or no, that's a success for that day. So it's back down by 1, and you're you no longer get a -1 for the next day. So you didn't poison yourself the second day of doing this, basically.
Yeah,
day 3?
18.
18. Okay, so now it is a +2 to your rolls for the next day, and a -2 to the difficulty rating. Let me get that day 5.
15.
Okay, +1 to your day 4. So for day 4, 15, so you get a -1 to the AC for the next day, or for to the DC for the next day, and you get a +1 for the next day. So instead of it being a +2, it's a +1. Give me that roll.
24.
24, okay. So for that one, we'll give you a +3 for the next day, and the overall DC goes down by 3.
16.
Okay, that's another good one. So you now, for the next day, get a +2, and the DC gets a -2.
I'm at 24.
Yep, that's another +3, -3, so...
A nat 1.
Okay.
I didn't know I'd be happy to see a nat 1.
So you get a -3 on this next roll that's coming up. This one is the one that matters. This is to see if you gain resistance or vulnerability to poison damage.
Vulnerability.
Meaning it does double damage. That's only if you get a nat 1.
It gets double?
Yeah, only on a nat 1 will you become vulnerable to poison damage. But, let me do the math for the DC real quick. You have to beat the total DC that I was calculating for each day of the success or failure. Roll the Constitution saving throw to see if you can become resistant to poison damage.
What do I have to roll?
Constitution saving throw.
What do I have to beat?
I will tell you if you beat it or not.
No, definitely not.
What'd you get?
11.
Slayer, through these days, they have been grueling. They have been strenuous. They have been tough. You have been self-poisoning yourself, then going to a bar and drinking all night, and then waking up and then poisoning yourself some more. You wake up, you take a little bit of your drink, you put some poison in it. You've actually been slowly gaining resistance. You are now resistant to poison damage. The DC was 11. I started at a 19, went up to a 20, and you just kept getting success after success until the final one, which brought it from an 8 to an 11. So you are now resistant to poison damage. And during that time...
Oh, am I just half damage or what?
You take half damage when it comes to poison damage.
When you're raging.
Yeah, when you're raging. You have to be raging when you do this. During one of those days, you wake up and you get ready to leave the Crooked Feather, and you see Pitcher leaning up against a chair with his feet up on a table. Slayer! Slayer, come here. I need to talk to you.
Hi, Pitcher. What's up?
He adjusts himself so he's sitting forward. He takes his legs off the table and leans forward. I've heard through the grapevine you're talking of Salvasa.
Aye, have you heard of Salvasa, Captain?
It's my home island. It's where I'm from.
Ah, you do say so. So you remember that coat I always used to wear, and the hat?
The one you got on the island, yes.
Yes, from the dead guy.
From the dead gnome, yes.
Aye, yeah. You see, I pulled a card, and, I may have lost all my magical items, Captain.
That is quite the tough break. But, he gets, like, this very serious expression on his face. Salvasa is not a safe place, Slayer. There's a reason I left when I did, and... I'm going to be honest, I'd rather the Huntsman not return there.
Aye. What about just a few of us?
I do not wish to see you all in the danger that I was once in, Slayer. I had to abandon many things when I left that island. Love, family. I abandoned many, many of my friends. Going back is not something that I can easily do, and I don't think you should be going either. I understand you want your coat back, but it might not be worth the trouble on the island.
Aye. What were you running away from on this island?
Give me a persuasion check.
11.
Let's just say there were plans for me I didn't agree with. And if I stayed on the island, I wouldn't have had a say. I like to have my freedom, Slayer. And
Of course, so do I.
This is an island not to mess around with. The people there are fanatics.
I am a fanatic to the Huntsman.
He's going to roll up one of his sleeves, and you see this red patch of fur in the shape of a hand, like a cat's paw. The people on that island are fanatics of Malar, the god of the hunt. If they find they don't like you, Slayer, they hunt you. And he kind of like rolls his sleeve back down to cover up the marking again. Now that marking is half the reason why I can't go back. The other half I'd rather not talk about.
Aye, Captain, what if you just stay here and I go alone?
I'm not giving you the ship, Slayer.
Aye, all right.
Listen.
We'll talk more about this.
If you can convince me by the end of our time on the island, perhaps, but you'll need a damn convincing argument. Understand that?
I'll come up with something. Don't worry, Pitcher.
Good luck with that, Slayer. Good luck.
You know I got my wit.
So, Pitcher just kind of goes back to his drink. You go off to do more of your training for the weeks. Now, let's cut to Yurite. Yurite, what would you like to do during this week?
Well, during this week, first thing I would probably do is if Alfor needs me for anything during this time, I'll be glad to offer up my services.
Okay.
Also, I'll be doing a little bit on research that Alfor lends me, kind of just learning more.
So let's do that first.
Getting books, perfect.
Yep. So Alfor is gonna go up to you one day. Yurite, you mentioned that any things I might need you wouldn't mind doing, correct?
Yes, of course.
Well, you see, I was wondering if you could get me into contact with someone from your crew that could be a hired hand, protection of sort.
Aye, for what?
Well, I've recently made contact with one of the matriarchs of the island, Rima. She expressed concern about what I was doing on the island, and I explained to her my research in the shards, and once I showed her the one that you gave me, she was more than willing to talk to me. She said there have been reports of strange things in the tunnels. She sends scouts there all the time. They barely see shadows, but she's sending me down to investigate a little bit.
I see. Do you know how difficult of a task this may be?
I mean, she said I could probably do it on my own. I mean, she said that her guards patrol the entire area throughout the day, and no beasts or what those like come down there, so I was just going to see if there was someone who wouldn't mind making an extra coin on your ship and wouldn't mind spending a couple days underground without any light.
I can find someone.
Okay.
When do you need them by?
Well, I was thinking about going down later today. This is during, say, the first day of the week. I could use them. I was planning on going later today and going on about 3 to 4 days trip underneath.
Awesome. Sounds good. I'll get you someone before you leave.
Thank you. I'll be right here in the Crooked Feather.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Could I roll to have if Yurite thinks of a good person? Because if not, I'm
give
gonna
me a investigation check. Volunteer Krolten.
Well, I'm gonna, me and Krolten, we're just gonna both go. You said investigation?
Yes.
That is a 15.
15? You're thinking, and Zebrith seems like she's been through a lot, so like she's probably off the table. I mean, Pitcher and Gert. You can't think of any of the people you've really met, but you do know of, like, one or two of those guys you see during the night shift. You know, they like dark and night. You've never really seen them during the day, so it's... You can't really think of any faces off the top of your head. Like, And as you're thinking about this, and you're, like, kind of chilling in the tavern, you actually see one of them walk by. It's this very gruff-looking dragonborn with... A black dragonborn with these very short and pointy horns by his side. They don't go over in front of his face like most dragonborns. They're very small. and you actually see wisps of, like, waves come off of his hair. Like, almost like water dripping down. Though his scales are black, they do seem to have this fluid-like motion to them. And you see him walk by, and you're like, holy crap, I recognize that guy. You don't know his name, though.
Aye, me. And I'm going to kind of flag to him, see if I get his attention.
Yeah.
I have a quick question for you.
What's up?
Two things. Do you like the dark, and do you want to make a quick coin?
I love coin. I don't care about the dark. I work night shifts on my boat, so...
Can Yurite, just by judging his character, see if he's a decent fighter-esque person, or is he...
Give me an insight check.
8.
He looks capable, you know, as much as any other sailor on the ship would be. He's got, like, these very, like, broad-ish shoulders, a little bit sturdier build.
A friend of mine, Alfor, he's a researcher, needs to go down to the sewers and is looking for some protection.
I could do that, yeah.
Wonderful. I'm going to stand up, and can I direct him... Yeah,
you stand up, grab this dragonborn by the arm, and you walk him over to Alfor. And he goes, oh, hello, you found someone. That was fast.
Well, you mentioned
2 hours.
You mentioned coin and manual labor of sorts, and it's easy to find someone from the Huntsman.
I'm glad to hear that. What is your name, sir?
Clicks.
Nice to meet you. And he puts out this very large hand. Pleasure to meet you, Clicks. He doesn't seem like the brightest.
He works the night shift. I had to find someone who would be good in the dark.
Oh, well, thank you for thinking ahead, Yurite. Well, if you need me, I'll be in the sewers. Clicks, with me!
Okay, sir.
And Clicks just kind of walks by behind him as Alfor shuffles past, quickly goes upstairs, grabs some books, and then they leave and depart. So, what else would you like to do?
For the rest of a few days, a decent amount of time, I will take Krolten with me.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do some, like, sparring, and then we're also going to head out into the forest and stalk prey and just kind of train, work together, kind of work on that teamwork, also, like, training with each other combat-wise.
Okay. So, for every 3 days that pass, I'm going to need an athletics check, a constitution check, and a survival check.
Okay.
So, for the first 3 days, Krolten, since he's there, will be giving you advantage on these.
Okay.
So your training will count for both of you guys.
Got it. All right. So which one do you want first?
Let's do the athletics first, for the first 3 days.
So, three rolls will do?
No, just one roll for the days. Yeah.
With advantage, though. So. And we did athletics?
Yep.
16?
16? Okay. First 3 days, you guys are having a very intense time training. This is all the training aspect of what you guys are doing. Let me get a constitution check. Keep the advantage.
Is that a savings check or just a straight check?
Just a straight check.
All right, 19.
19. So though you guys aren't in the most intense training zone, it kind of plays to your benefits. You guys aren't getting tired each day. You're not ending each day dragging your blades behind you or anything. You guys are ending each day and kind of like looking at you and like, this was a good day of training, you know? Now give me the survival checks for the first 3 days.
Also with advantage?
Yep. This is for hunting prey, things of that sort.
21.
So, during this time, you're making your way through the jungles. You're hunting these small velociraptors. You know, you have them on lock. You barely take out your greatsword during this time. You're basically going hand axe to swarms of velociraptors this one day. Another day, you and Krolten are hunting through the jungle. And I'm going to need Max and Todd to leave the room. Go into the other room or upstairs or something like that. Try not to listen.
We're going.
It's going to be one of these conversations.
Oh. I didn't know I rolled well enough.
Nice and close to the mic.
So I just had the other guys leave the room because during that day, the third day of you guys hunting through the wilderness, you realize how impeding your armor. You see Krolten strip his off. And he's just like, sir, this is getting... How are you not hot in that? And he points to your chainmail. Just, sir... you can keep training in that, but I'm going to be taking this off.
I'm actually just gonna roll to see how hot it is. Yeah.
Okay.
See if I'm actually like tired from it or if I'm feeling fine. That's a six.
You're tired.
I'm tired. So the notion, what time of day is it about?
I'd say this is the hottest part of the day, and as the days go by,
we're in the jungle, right? Too.
Yes. You do notice though too, as the days go by, it gets hotter and hotter each day as you get closer and closer to the summer solstice.
Noticing around this time, probably mentioned let's take a short break. I'm actually going to take off my armor, but keep the cloak on, and then I'm going to put armor in the bag of holding.
Got it.
Because it's lit, and we're going to go from there.
Okay.
Do you want to see if he sees why I changed, or are you just going to take it?
Let's roll perception for Krolten. He doesn't see it.
Okay.
So let's go to the next 3 days. You guys are going to be training without your armor.
Yep.
Just keep that in mind. Let's get those athletic checks for the first day. For the first, or for the next 3 days.
Advantage on them, because...
Yep, so Krolten is with you.
This one was which again?
Athletics for the first.
22.
So ooh, your second day, you guys are really picking up... your second set of 3 days, you guys are really picking up the pace. You guys have... kind of this rhythm to everything, and without the armor, you guys are also moving a lot quicker. You're kind of getting more in tune with each other's movements. Kind of, you guys are actually becoming a duo in this moment. Give me a constitution check now to see how these days affect you.
Wow,
lucky for that.
Wow, I got a nat 1 and a nat 20, folks.
Wow, that is a lucky. You, though these have been very rough and rigorous days, it's nothing. These actually seem easier than the second day. Now, instead of survival, actually, still give me the survival check. What I'm going to need afterwards, I'll tell you after.
11.
This second day, as you guys are going about, it's getting hotter. Even the cloak is getting too much to bear. It's a black cloak, so it's absorbing all this heat, and your scales aren't making this easy. You're already bulky, and you guys have gotten to a part of the jungle through your tracking and everything that is a lot denser, but also a lot more humid. You think you're kind of bordering that one swamp that you guys encountered, so the humidity is really kicking up. It's getting really marshy and boggy.
Yurte is going to roll up his sleeves, so it's going to have some... roll up his sleeves, and his hood is down, and he's kind of like... rolling the sleeves in, the hood in, trying to make it as thin as possible. It's definitely still keeping on the body of it, but it's definitely...
As you roll up the sleeves, Krolten gives you these wide eyes, just now noticing just how covered in scars you are. He sees these mangled burn marks that look almost like claws spiraling up the length of your arm. He sees just what looks like to be used to like chunks of missing flesh from the back of your arm and your forearm on another arm. And around your head, he sees just cuts, piercing marks all around the skull, and just what looks to be almost stigmata-like crown around your head. Oof. Let me also get just a straight wisdom saving throw.
Six.
So, after these 6 days of training, things have been pretty intense. You and Krolten have gotten the hang of each other in a sense of combat. You fall asleep one night, and you are in an all-too-familiar red room. You see before you your sword. It looks different. It looks a little nicer. So to speak, the black metal on it just shines. There seems to be these red writing that you don't recognize along the edge of it. The actual... edge is pure red, almost pulsating with this energy around it. And as you look at it, all of a sudden it moves. You see standing there this red breathing creature of flames and shadow, one large horn and one broken one. These large wings spanning behind it, standing about 10 to 15 feet tall. It's a very large creature. Picks up the blade with one hand. Points it at you. I'm choosing you. Show me your wrath. I'm gonna hand you the blade. You accept it.
I'm going to do odds or evens.
Okay.
Because I take it.
Okay. You reach forward with a hand to accept the blade, and he just drops it into your hand. You feel the weight behind it for a second, but then it's light, familiar, a continuation of your arm itself. And then you just hear the voice again. Show me your wrath. And around you pops up three shadowy figures. Show me your wrath. What do you do?
I have the sword in my hand?
Yep.
I just start swinging.
Okay, give me three attack rolls.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Do I add my
modifiers? Yep, add your modifiers.
15.
Okay.
24
mm-hmm.
and 26.
Okay, so you stand there and you tense up, and something about these seem familiar. Like you've dealt with them before, and you've seen this shape before. And it just brings back this violent memory that you've buried for a while. And you feel the anger well up inside of you, and you just take the sword in your hands, and you start with your pivot, and you just cleave through one, and it disperses into shadow. You cleave through the second, it disperses again, and you get to the third, and it just stops the blade with a hand. You see the face kind of go, like a sheen of light go over it, kind of revealing a little bit more features. You just see an all too familiar grin. And then you just kind of put a bit more force behind it and break through this shadow. And the flaming figure once again looks at you. Good. Now use it. And these flames just wrap around you. And you wake up from that night. Krolten sleeping not too far away from you, and just sweating. A cold sweat over your entire body. But that is after the 6 days. Let me get the last 3 days for you.
You, athletics first? So 18?
18. This last day of training is going very well. You guys have done extremely good over these past couple days. And you guys have kind of worked together on some, like, plans. Like, you know, when I make this signal, you dart left, make a quick hook, and go at him from behind. You know, like, you guys come up with some battle tactics.
Constitution?
Constitution next.
21.
Again, you are holding up when it comes to physical training. You guys finish these 3 days each feeling like you could push out more in the end. Knowing you could push out more in the end. Give me the survival checks.
Wow. 5.
So, let's say on this will be the 7th day, 2 days till the Mongolos Festival. The heat is getting unbearable. You don't know how anyone can live on this island in this heat. And you are traveling through the jungle. And as you are traveling, you hear, and you see this velociraptor jump up from behind you, grab your cloak, and rip it off as Krolten is traveling behind you. He quickly turns and cuts through the velociraptor with ease. But then he turns and looks at you. He sees everything. The scars and the mark. Describe it for him.
So the mark is going to be on my back. It's based in the center back, and it has claws, horns. It has like horns, claws, diamond-shaped figures of sorts roughly burned into the skin in the middle that is surrounded by a circle. From there, there's a larger circle that has that in the middle with smaller circles, 3 on the top and 3 on the bottom of it, kind of spaced out on it. And all those connect to that inner circle. And that is pretty much kind of just etched, burned, similar to the scar pattern just on my back.
He is going to look wide-eyed and just go, "Sir, I assume from the scars you were a fighter, but what is that?" Actually going to roll something for him. He doesn't say that.
Okay.
He is stunned silent in this moment. You look at him, you guys make eye contact, and you see a look you've seen before. It's the thousand-yard stare. Something triggered a memory of Kroll-Tenz. And then he just stands there and just... Sir, what happened to your cloak, sir?
What happened to you? And I'm gonna go to the Velociraptor and kind of just shake out my cloak and get ready to put it on, but I don't put it, like, I'm in the motion of it.
I don't know, something... It's weird. He kind of, like, thinks harder and harder, and he's like, could have sworn I remembered something a moment ago, but it's gone now. Whatever, it happens, you know. Probably from the deck of many things, you know, card magic, who knows.
Probably, but what did you recognize?
Well, that's the thing, sir. I don't know. When that cloak went off your back.
I'm gonna shudder, and Yurte kind of tightens closely, and then just kind of starts getting it right, sliding it on. Kind of just not liking that he kind of
thousand yarded it,
and then that's when he made the comment that once it was covered. But he's definitely still be going. Well, you said I was, you thought I was a fighter with all these scars, but most of them aren't from that. But it's something else. Hopefully, you know, we don't have to deal with those. But and he's gonna kind of look around. I'm kind of getting antsy. I'm grabbing the sword, kind of seeking comfort towards stuff.
You grab the sword, and there is a very familiar warmth coming from the handle in this moment.
Yeah. Take that in. Can I ask Kroll-Tenz to take up his sword real fast?
Yeah.
Do like a kind of just start sparring with him a little?
Got it. Okay.
And as we go into sparring with it, I'm going to start asking him some questions as I kind of start like taking like if I get some advantage on him, he doesn't, as we trade back and forth.
On the questions.
So do you just follow me? Like whatever I say, do you just? What is this?
So as you guys are like,
yeah.
You guys are trading quick hits. He's blocking the shield every now and then. Well, sir, I'm not really sure myself. I just kind of woke up and I have this weird compulsion to help you, man. I don't know. And he blocks your blade again. I mean, I don't know if it's just the magic of the card or something else, but I mean, he takes like two strikes at you that you block. I don't necessarily hate it. It's not like it's against my will, or I don't feel like I'm being forced to do anything, sir. And you guys go back to training a bit.
Can I go to like knock him down? You can take like a hard swing at him.
Give me an athletics check against his.
19.
You got a nat 1. So you go and like he's distracted by the question. Yeah, he raises his sword. You ask him a question. He's like, I'm not sure. He's like backing away. He doesn't see a rock behind him. Trips, and you go and you body check him and send him flying like 5-10 feet back. And he like slides a little bit. Whoa! Good hit, sir. Oh god.
I'm gonna walk up to him, and as he's kind of just on the ground, I'm gonna stab my sword in the ground, and I go, well, if you're truly here to help me, and then while he's kind of distracted, I'm gonna actually remove the cloak, face him. And then ask him, what is this? Or what do you think this is?
Ask
he's
me
looking at my brand because of the 1,000-yard stare after he said he's here to help me.
Sir, I'm not sure. I feel like I should, but I can't. Sir, this has been happening. Actually, now that we're talking about, can I talk to you about something, sir?
Yes, I'm going to offer to get him up now at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Clasp your hand, Predator handshake style, and like you let him up. Sir, I every now and then, I feel like I'm on the verge of remembering something from my life before the card. And I do. I feel like I watch them go away. I have these moments where I remember something of my old life, and then when I try and think of it again, much like the thing on your back, sir, I just can't remember.
Now that is very interesting. I wonder if that has to do with this, as you so-called say, card magic with it.
I mean, I can't remember much from before the point I appeared in that tent, so that's what I assumed it was related to.
Well,
there is one thing, though.
Yes.
I've checked my personal belongings thousands of times, and I've had basic necessities, but one thing stands out. He reaches into his backpack, and he pulls out a very large handle, a hilt, even. Puts it down. It's got this very intricately wrapped red leather handle and a very basic pommel, and what looks to be a cracked blade near the pommel itself. So it's a very short, broken blade. Every time I look at this, I get a feeling of disappointment. I don't know. I look at it and I feel like I shouldn't have it.
Hmm. Your T's gonna look at it? Well, I can definitely say I don't recognize it. It looks pretty damaged, so I don't know if, you know, many people would even recognize it, but maybe that's something we should go do when we get the time. Do you feel that that's something we should do with it, or?
I feel like it has something to do with my past, yes. I would love to investigate this further if we have the chance.
Alright, well, that is something we must keep in our minds and not forget about as we travel, for we will be going many places, I believe, with this ship.
Well, I look forward to it, sir.
If you are here to help me, I am here to help you. And if regaining your memories might be able to help us both, then it's something we must definitely do.
Aye, sir. And he kind of puts out like a fist for a fist bump. Boom. He makes it blow up.
Yurite is kind of like, just like.
He looks at his hand and like curiously, he's like, huh, I think I just came up with that. You do it again. Come on, you do it. You do it now, Yurite. Come on. Yeah, your take does the
does it just silently.
Very well. But that is how you and Krolten spend your 9 days leading up to the festival.
Guys, you're good to come back.
What did we miss?
We heard it.
You'll find out.
What did we miss?
Your take is crazy.
No, didn't hear it. You actually did not hear anything.
Perfect.
Like, I just heard a lot of mumbling, some dice rolls.
So that was Yurite's downtime. Now we go to Golan's downtime. Golan, what would you like to be doing during these 9 days?
Okay. First thing that I thought of is, because I have that second sending stone or speaking stone with Rima for research, I could maybe meet with her and show her the ancient tome, the holy book that I have. And so she can, like, I guess, like, look it over.
The locked one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she can, like, look it over, and then I can, like, ask her, like, what do you think, or what can you tell me about this book?
Okay.
So, like, try to meet with her, I guess, if that's possible.
So, you call out to her one day. What do you say to...
Well, I guess almost like a walkie-talkie. Rima, are you there? Hello?
Speak.
Hiya. So, you gave me this second sending stone for research, and I was hoping that we could meet at some point and discuss, or rather I can show you, this book that I have that I think you'd be very interested in, and sort of get a second opinion on this matter that I have.
Bring the book to the place where we discussed our contract, and I will look it over for you. Jake, give me a persuasion check.
27.
I will see what I can do for you, but there's no guarantees depending on what it is you bring me, so we'll see what happens.
I look forward to our meeting.
Okay, so you get ready for your meeting. She says, come meet me in 3 days' time. I will look at it then. I'm very busy. So will you do. Have 3 days till your meeting with Rima. What would you like to do during that time?
Okay, during that time, I'd like to maybe hang out with my girlfriend. Or my my significant
already
other.
Using a title.
Maybe click. Okay, maybe we are going out. Maybe we go on a date.
Maybe we got some pirate booty.
Or maybe I could see just like what she's doing and tag along with her as well.
Okay, so would you just like to see what she's doing, or would you like to just like spend some quality time, go on dates? What do you want to do?
Dude, why don't we
describe some dates to us? What kind of dates do you take Telev on?
What's the perfect first date?
Dude,
what is Golan's perfect first date?
Dude, perfect first date. We go to the market, we gather some like, you know, fruits like grapes, you know, some wine, with some cheese and like a basket, and we go to the beach and we lay out and we have a picnic on the beach, and I have my instruments and I play her and sing her music, and we, you know, talk of the lore and the myths of the world, and, you know, exchange intellectual and physical expression.
Okay. So, let me get charisma overall, just a flat charisma check.
9.
Okay, so, Golan, your first date with Pelev, like your first official date, you can kind of tell she's like, it's not her thing. Like, you know, you take her out on this lovely picnic, you see the sunset, and she's just like sitting there, and like at one point you swear you saw her yawn. So that is one day. She kind of looks, that was a wonderful time, Golan. I have to go, you know, see Claw and Grim, make sure they're doing okay after everything at the pits. So I'll talk to you. And she gives you a kiss on the cheek. Good night.
Bye, babe.
she continues on. So the other day till Rima's meeting.
Lucky your two was coming in late and leaving early. Would've been 20.
You know, I just got this cool new knife.
Okay.
This is like, you know, looks like an ancient knife from the Yuan-Ti pit, and maybe I could seek someone out to get like maybe like a price on it. See if I can
You want it appraised,
or
you want it appraised,
or possibly exchanged, at like have like a exchange for like a rapier of like a plus of like a higher.
Okay.
Than mine.
So give me something an investigation like check for the market.
He wants it appraised.
What'd you get?
That's a natural one.
You spend all day, like, you bring it to the market. Balmans and Grogs are both closed. Of all days.
Gosh darn it.
Well, guess I don't need to pull up the magic item part of the DMG. Natural one, everyone.
Save it on some work.
Folks, the beauty of D&D.
Stuck with
it now. So completely put off by that.
I'd like to wait one in-game day. Like a Skyrim character just standing.
Well, so one activity is 8 hours. So you spend 8 hours of your day looking for anyone to do it, but it seems like Grogs and Balmans are the only actual like magic item sellers, makers, and buyers.
Just my luck, bro.
And like any street person you walk up to, you do remember the turtle. But, like, she's not there that day. And every street vendor you go to is selling literal junk.
Yeah, I'm not going to be too happy after that. I'm just going to go back and hang out.
Okay. Yeah,
that really sucks.
That second day, you just hang out. And actually, during this time, you're walking back alone from the market district to the Crooked Feather, and you're like, Yurte and Krolten have been gone, like, all these past 2 days. Slayer has been stabbing himself outside of the Crooked Feather for a day now. He did not look good this morning.
No, you look terrible.
But then you just hear, hey, Golan.
Whoa.
Psst. It's me.
Oh, right.
Grothax.
I almost forgot you were there.
You see your ring like light up a little bit as he talks.
Right.
You've
impressed me.
How's that?
Those kills the other day. That abomination, those octopi, you had quite the cool kill.
Oh, it's nothing. No, all in a day's work, of course.
I believe you're a good fighter, Golan. But I can make you better. If you listen to me.
I am an avid listener. I will hear you out, good sir.
Well, I was when I was alive, I was quite the fighter.
Is that so?
A battle master, one would say.
Is he just in the middle of the road talking?
Yes.
To his
hand? Yes. Hold you on, just you get there. Stopped in the middle of the road by this, and you're just like, what? And you're standing there.
Let me just lean. I'll lean against like, the wall of a building or something like that. Just, like,
give me a stealth check.
Honestly, I just saw you in the middle of the road, it. Just talking real fast, like just like talking, like people just walking
into
around.
His ring.
Yeah.
I'm gonna 23 on that.
Okay, so you quickly like you look around and realize there are some eyes on you, and you're like, huh. Duck into an alley real quick. And you, like, lean against the alley and you're, like, whispering now into your, like, you have your hand next to your mouth kind of casually, but you're whispering into the ring.
Sorry about that. I just needed to move around, you know. I'm kind of stopped in the middle of the street talking.
It's okay. Privacy is very important.
No, sir. Please go on, good sir. Inside, my ring. Please go on.
Give me 3 days, and I can mold you into a warrior. You let me know when you're ready for that, and I will begin the work.
How do you mean?
I can teach you things that I knew. Tell you how to strike fear into the hearts of your opponents.
Fear, a powerful weapon. I'd be interested.
You tell me when you're ready, and I'll begin the training then. I need 3 straight days with your weak, puny body.
Hey, I'm not that puny. I just like look over my body. I'm not that puny.
What's your strength?
0. It's a
10. Your average build of like a guy who doesn't go to the gym.
I'm not that bad.
Sure. Or you could have mental six-packs like me.
And you can swear you get the image of a six-pack right in front of you. Like, in your mind's eye.
Oh, behold, the six-packs of the glorious warrior inside my ring.
It's a shame I died. Imagine these emboldened on bronze in a statue. I'd be beautiful.
Oh, I don't doubt it, good sir. But how about that? How'd you get inside this ring?
Well, I was killed.
You know how?
In combat? I was fighting a horde of beasts with my brethren by my side. I fell, and I do not know what happened to him.
But I reckon you were wearing this ring.
Yes, I was.
So that means, if I were to die, say, with this ring on, would I join you inside this ring, or...
Only if I move on can you occupy the ring. One soul at a time. That is the rule when I got it, and that is the rule now when you have it.
Is there any way to free you without me dying?
Help me find what makes me move on to the next life. I can move on from the ring.
Well, I won't find that at my local supermarket, so... What might this be, then?
I wish only for 2 things. To witness a truly, truly the coolest kill ever.
Okay.
And to be reunited with my battle brethren of the Delmeric's clan.
You hear like a pounding sound, as if pounding on his chest.
Perhaps someday I will seek out this clan and join you back with your brethren. So I might free you, good sir.
Yes, then you may occupy the ring when you die, as is the legacy of the ring.
Oh, wouldn't I love that, for my soul to just be trapped inside this ring.
You get like a Jumanji-esque, like, when he says legacy of the ring in the background of your head, like he has his own theme song going.
That's great, the theme song in my head. I shall let you know when I shall begin the training.
Okay,
soon, so though.
The next day, the day to meet Rima. You go to Sleaze's hut, you see him.
Hey, Golan. Nice to meet you, handshake.
And he puts out a greasy hand.
Oh, hey. You, right. I just, yeah. Oh, there. Like, and I just like
grab a finger.
Grab a finger. I'm like, oh, I'm going to need to get that sanitized. I just like, yeah, nice to see you again, Sleaze.
Rima told me you'd be coming this way.
And he like shoves garbage out of the way and opens the trap door for you.
Thank you, sir. I shall go down. Shall you be coming and joining us?
He gets, like, wide eyes and, like, rubs the back of his head.
No, I don't think so.
Probably for the best. I shall see you, and I will go down.
He waves goodbye to you. You go down and continue down the hallway, and you get to the door, and you see the massive eye once again looking at you, and even though it's just an eye, you can kind of see it's, like, a look of, like, you see the eye roll. And then close and open, and she goes,
welcome back. What? No hunky other Cyclops man with you today?
What you mean by that?
She gives you a very knowing look.
Oh.
If someone with one eye could give you, like, an evil eye look, you'd be getting it right now. But you do see Rima sitting in her usual spot that you guys saw last time of her.
Golan, hello. You have something for me?
Yes, Rima. I brought something for you to look at. and hopefully you could tell me what you know.
Present it. And a little pedestal rises from the ground for you to put the book on.
Walk up, take out of my bag the book with the lock on it, place it on the pedestal. Here you go.
She looks at it. I've never seen anything of the sort. This is a one of a kind.
Apparently it's a volume one. Might refer to the fact that there's a second volume, but as far as I know, it is one of a kind.
She waves one of her wings over top of it, and you see like a little magic fall from it and go over the book. And you see the second the magic tries to touch the lock area, it kind of it's like sparks, like magic on like magic reaction to it. But the lock stays.
This is a very powerful enchantment on it. It must have been a very powerful arcane locksmith. How did you come into possession of such an item?
Can you keep a secret?
Why, yes.
I received it from my brother.
So what I would assume the lock is his as well, then?
Unfortunately, it is.
Now, why would a brother, as one with siblings, why would a brother give his younger brother, or older, I don't care to make judgments, but why would they give you a locked book locked by them?
Oh, I just think he may have been paranoid. Maybe he thought it was too advanced for me. Oh, I'm not very sure.
Well, he may be right about that. This is a very powerful spellbook. Full, very powerful magic. But it seems almost incomplete. Not as if split into two, but more. Three, perhaps? It's a very interesting item you have brought me. I do not know anything of this, and I have not seen anything of it, but if you would like, give me a persuasion check.
Nat 20.
She looks at you and goes, if you wish, if you would like, I may let my network know of looking for this volume 2, and I will let you know immediately when I know where it is. That way you don't need to come see me, and it will never be in my possession. But once I know of its location, she points a wing at you, you will also know.
From one researcher to another, that is an immeasurable gift. Thank you very much.
Anything for the pursuit of endless knowledge.
The pursuit of endless knowledge is a great one.
How is my sister doing?
I think she's doing fine. When I know that she's doing fine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, she was with us the other day.
She was with you like 4 days ago.
She's doing fine now. There was a scare in our crew.
Eyes go wide.
There was a scare in our crew. People that were missing.
Her neck like cranes forward a little bit, eyes wider, and she goes, was it Squala?
No, not at all. She was perfectly safe.
She lets out a sigh of relief.
We would never put her in harm's way. No, there were crew members missing out on a job that they took from a shady voodoo artist.
Was it Lady Mereruru?
The very same.
I love her!
She's a funny.
She's a wonderful wing reader.
We picked from her deck of many things.
Ah. Is that where that mysterious fellow who just appeared on my island came from? Was he the knight?
He's a sort of knight, you could say.
Ah. You know, I was the one who gave her that deck.
Really? Where did you come upon it?
My travels, my trade. I've only come across one, of course. She impressed me with that deck of many fates of hers. One in the whole world, and she has it.
With great power, you know, comes great responsibility. I know that the deck can cause many different kinds of things.
Sorry, kids.
She folds her wings behind her back.
Yes, that is something I've lived by my entire life after my father's brother was murdered. He taught me that lesson.
It's a good one. Well, I also have one more thing to show you, if you would like.
And what would that be?
Pull out the knife.
Okay. Just gonna look at it and wave her wing across, and the magic kind of goes across it again that you see. You know this to be the identify spell. She looks, her eyes glow as if receiving this information.
Oh! This is a dagger of venom. If need be, you can coat a thick layer of poison on it and quickly insert it into your opponent, at close range, of course, when stabbing. It might fetch a decent price on the black market. Do you wish to sell?
Looking into it, don't really need it within my arsenal. My trusty rapier really gives me all the bite that I need. So, yes, I am looking to sell.
Well, perhaps I can find a buyer for you.
Would you let me know when one comes about?
Give me a persuasion check.
22.
She looks at you. I will, yes. Once I find a suitable buyer, you will know. You will give the item to me, and I will give you the gold. I, of course, will be taking a small transaction fee. But that is how we do business here. She gives, like, a grin across her face. The one expression you've seen.
Hey, to business. What makes the world go round, eh?
To business, and she gives you a nod.
Well, that is all I have for you today. Thank you for all your knowledge and for your promises.
Thank you for protecting my sister. Make sure you keep up with that.
I shall always be looking over her.
And she waves her wing and for you to kind of, like, leave. She has, like, a very presenting moment, like, motion of it. She doesn't say anything. She just does this and looks at you.
I do the same to her, but with my arm, and I say, until we meet again.
Till we meet again.
And I turn and walk out the door.
You make your way out. You pass by the Cyclops, make your way up. Sleaze is there, just kind of sitting in a pile of garbage, eating this off of this really nice plate, a chicken leg, on a table made of garbage. And you witness that as you leave. You hear like a plate shattering as you exit.
Well, that was interesting. But pretty good meeting.
Okay, so this is the third day in. What would you like to do for your next couple days?
I'm gonna talk to Gerthax about some of that training.
Okay, so
whatever you would like to do for me.
Now, to mold you into a warrior, we must start with intense physical training. First day is nothing but exercise.
Give me an athletics check for the first day of training.
Four.
Your first day of training is... He's literally, come on, drop and give me 20. You get to 10. And then you're... And then basically every set he tries to have you do afterwards, you do like a third of the reps because it's just too much. He does... Do 10 pull-ups. You do 1 pull-up and like barely get up there and like you're shaking with every movement.
Bro, I'm calling me out.
By the end of the day, you are nothing but sweat.
Okay. Wasn't the best day. But maybe tomorrow will be better.
The next day rolls around.
Lesson 2 of being a great fighter to strike fear into your enemies' hearts. Being able to look them in the eyes.
This is like a mental classroom you're in, basically. You like sit there in the morning and like talk to your ring, but in your mind, you're in this like think of like that inner city school classroom that has like graffiti all over the place, really shitty desks that have drawing in them, and it's just this very large bronze dragonborn pacing in front of a chalkboard as you sit there, very much like school for you.
I'm back in school.
Welcome to the goddamn school of Gruth Nox. Okay, so, lesson number 2. You gotta be able to strike fear into their hearts. So you gotta be able to look them in the eyes, target their weakness, and pinpoint it like a motherfucker. Can you do that?
Yeah.
I said, can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay, so, I am now going to need a wisdom check from you.
Straight wisdom?
Straight wisdom.
15.
15. So, you and him get into this mental staring contest and goes,
you gotta know that no matter what, you must never be the first one to blink.
And you're going, you keep this up for like a good solid like 45 minutes to an hour of just mentally staring. And outside too, your eyes are wide open. You're just looking forward doing this mental training this day.
That's good, good. That's good for today. Now on to more physical training.
Give me another athletics check. 5
Athletics is again something.
Not much better than yesterday. You get one more rep in per set. Your body is super sore too. Third day rolls around. You're back into the school of Gruth Nox.
Now lesson number 3 that I was gonna teach you.
Your physical body might not be there, but I've seen you in combat, and you got the skills to pay the bills. I need to see you train with nothing but your rapier all day today. You got that?
You got it.
And I'm going to be yelling in your ear the entire time to make sure you do it right.
So looking forward to it.
For today, you're going to be doing athletic checks with advantage, because Gruthax is going to be basically going drill sergeant on your ass.
Let's go. Got a 8.
So you're doing a lot better physically during the day. But like your body's so sore from the other 2 days of training that you're barely able to keep up and goes,
listen, you have the intimidation down, but we need more time on your body. So if you're committed, we can do this for more days.
Let's go, man. I'm determined.
So another day of nothing but physical work. Give me another check with advantage, because Gruthax is going to be, again, drill sergeant on you.
Todd is just stabbing himself.
18.
18. Yeah, so during these days of training, you're doing against like a tree with your rapier. You're doing very good this day. The soreness is down a little bit, you know? Like, you're very nimble on your feet. And in the background, you just see Slayer getting mad, stabbing himself really hard, puking a little bit, getting mad, stabbing himself really hard, puking a little bit, and just doing that all day long until like he has to take a rest, basically.
I'm concerned.
No one stops me.
After this fourth day, Gruthax goes to you.
Yes, this was it. This is what you needed. Now you can make menacing strikes.
So basically, now what you can do as a player is do the Battlemaster move Menacing Strike. When you hit an opponent, you can expend one use of your Bardic Inspiration to add that to your damage roll and make them do a Wisdom saving throw equal to your spell save DC, and if they fail, they're frightened of you till the end of your next turn. So just put down in your notes that you have a Menacing Strike. So remember, it uses your Bardic Inspiration die and your Bardic Inspiration usage. So you keep up with that. So you can do it multiple times a day, but it uses your Bardic Inspiration each time you do it.
Thank you.
Yes. You impress me more. You show me that you can use what I've taught you. And I can teach you more, Golan. I can make you better.
Yeah. That is the end of the fourth day. So that is 7 days in. You have 2 more days.
2 more days.
And just know, during this time, it is getting hotter every single day. There has not been, like, cloud cover is almost non-existent. When you look up at the moons at night, you notice the red moon of Tiamat is getting bigger and bigger. Yeah, that is what you guys all notice as, like, the days go on. What would you like to do during your last 2 days?
I guess one day I could just, like, relax because I just went under intense, like, physical training.
Okay.
One day I kind of chill, maybe, like, my GF's around. And I do.
Give me a persuasion check for talking to your GF.
Dude, I just see this character not being able to move out of bed for a whole day.
15.
So Todd was very right. This last day, the soreness of everything catches up. So you're just like you're stuck in bed all day. You do hear Telev knock on the door at one point, but you can't move. And she like knocks. She's like, okay. And she just walks away from the door. So you don't get to see her during that day.
Wow. Yeah, so I just sleep.
Yeah. Do you just spend the rest of your time relaxing? Chillaxing?
Honestly, yeah.
Okay. Give me charisma checks for those 2 days.
All right. 16.
Okay. And the other one?
Nat 20.
So, you are relaxed. See, it's all about the way you roll it. Pat told you how to roll it. You rolled it that way, and dude, it came up in at 20.
My character gave him help. He rolled with advantage.
Yeah,
just in real life.
Yeah. Pat gave Max advantage with the help action.
Bravo, good sir.
So,
Bravo.
Golan, the first day you're chilling, your body gets much better. You actually spend a lot of time downstairs during this day. You're playing your instruments. You gather quite a crowd every now and then. Give me 1 second.
Do I make any money?
I have my performance.
You made a total of 14 gold that day. The second day, you're playing your instrument and Telev approaches you. Golan, hey. I'm sorry, I've been kind of weird lately. Listen, I appreciate what you did on that first date, but it's not really my style. I like adventure, but I also like you. So, I mean, if that's the stuff you like to do, I guess I'll give it a try.
Honestly, you can do whatever you like to do. I will continue to be on the Huntsman. We will continue to be part of the crew. We can be there for each other whenever shit gets hard. Give it.
She kind of like glances down at your crotch real quick and looks back at you.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Or when times are tough.
That noise.
Or when times are tough and we don't have to have the title of, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, or being an item, so to speak.
Well, I mean, we could just be, like, crewmates with benefits. As long as I'm on the Huntsman, of course. I don't know where Claw and Grim are going to want to go after the...
You want to be CWBs?
I don't mind. You hear, like, a victory... Burr, 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 coming from Girthax. Oh my god, it happened.
He just... Mentally, you get him playing, like, a trumpet. Burr, 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 burr,
burr, burr. Alert the men!
But also, playing and chilling in the bar that day, you make 72 gold.
Pardon?
Yeah, from chillaxing. That's what that nat 20 got you. It was tell of talking to you and money. Gold.
Plus 72.
That's a thirsty Thursday, you know?
Yeah, man, you hit the bar up on ladies' night. That's why Telev was there, and everyone was tossing you coin. Telev kind of marked your territory early by talking you, so you didn't get flirting done with anyone, but... Everyone was tossing you coin that night.
I'll take you. They were impressed.
It's ladies' night, bro.
He was just calling her his girlfriend.
I know.
And now they're just friends with benefits.
Honestly,
crewmates with benefits.
Yo, the way you finessed that, congrats. Congrats.
True master.
Performance plus 13.
Okay, so. One thing you guys all notice as the final days of this week break comes around. You notice that each citadel starts setting up their own decorations, banners, and attractions. You notice in the Market Citadel, it's adorned in red and white banners, tents. Everything has this red and white theme to it. In the Crafting Citadel, it's a lot of blue and black banners, similar with the tents, tarps, and attractions there. And in the Casino Citadel, it's all green banners, baby. Everything in that citadel is green during this festival. Slayer, you stop by the gambling district one day, and you see, like, you know, Biff and Gert at the fight pits as Gert just goes swinging hard against people.
Can I throw some money on it?
Sure. And I'm going to roll a d20 to see how he does.
I'm throwing 28 gold on the fight.
You lose. 28 gold. Got a nat 1. The second you throw down the money, you see Gert just get sucker punched in the back of the head, and he goes face first into the ground, and he doesn't get back up.
It's not the last fight of the day, man.
But yeah, you guys see that, like, in the gambling district specifically is where the massive fighting tournament takes place. You run into Pitcher when you go to the gambling district, and he is actually writing down on a piece, like, on a clipboard in front of this large ogre.
Ah, Slayer! I'm signing up our teams for the tournament in 2 days.
Aye, Pitcher, what are the teams gonna be?
Well, I'm allowed 2 teams with the ship size that we have, so it's up to all of you who fights.
Aye.
And who's on what team, so you'll be deciding that today in the tournament.
Alright, Captain.
So, be ready to fight that day. And he turns in the clipboard to the ogre who picks it up and puts it into this very large, like, pocket in the front of her her outfit.
Aye, Captain, I'm looking to fight one of Black Fang's first mates.
He smacks you across the face. Slayer, are you stupid? Why would you invoke the name of Black Fang and his first mate? Have you even met his first mate before?
I almost killed him one time, and now he hates me, so
when was this Slayer?
Last time we were at port, Captain. I took a mission, and, you know, I had to protect someone.
His eyes go wide. You mean to tell me you defeated Ajax?
The rhino dude?
No. Ajax is a satyr.
I guess.
You beat Ajax the satyr. Give me a deception check.
I really think he's a rhino.
He is.
18 perception?
No, deception.
Oh, 19.
He looks at you.
Yes.
Wow. Here I thought he was still alive. Well, shit. You really almost killed Ajax the satyr.
He was a rhino.
Black Fang's first mate is a satyr. Are you talking of another person in Black Fang's fleet?
Possibly, Captain. A different ship, maybe.
What was his name?
I just remember him. He looked like a rhino.
It's a stern gap. Give me a history check.
17.
His name was Stern Galax.
Captain, maybe it was Stern Galax. That rings a bell.
Aye, of the Moonweaver.
I see, yeah.
Dear Lord, you gave me a literal fucking heart attack, Slayer. I almost killed... You're lucky I have 9 lives. I'm down to 4.
We could bring that down lower, maybe.
Please don't. But yeah, so you have this conversation with Pitcher. You'll get your hands on him, don't worry. You go about your training. The festival approaches fast, the days get hot, and you guys all wake up to Slayer first to the sound of Ella jumping up and down. So festival, 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 festival! And Zebra's saying, okay, I hear you, Ella. Shut the fuck up. She, like, sits up, and, Slayer, you wake up to Zebrith and Ella getting ready to enjoy the day. But they're dressed in very light, like, they're dressed very lightly because it is very hot.
Is it the, did I bring up a beer to my room the night before?
Do you usually?
The morning of festival?
Do
it's
you,
the morning of a festival, though, you know. You
is that start, what Slayer does every morning? Or every festival?
At least one beer in the morning, get his, you know, senses going, get woken.
Yep, so the yearly tradition you've known at the Mogolos Festival, you always end the night by taking up a nice tankard of ale and starting your morning off with giving a quick down. Give me a constitution check. Yeah. Saving throw.
It's going to be stank. Sat out all night.
Oh, yeah, no, it's stank beer.
15?
Like I said, it's stank beer, so it doesn't go down smooth, but it goes down. You don't throw up. You're not, like, drunk off of it, but it goes down hard.
That's fine.
Yeah. You guys all wake up. Kroll 10 mostly because he goes, oh, it's so hot. Why do I sleep in my armor? And he's just going to like strip off these layers of chainmail.
Yurte is going to put on his armor.
Yeah, Yurte, before Golem wakes up, you toss on all your armor.
He's already sitting there, you know, with the coffee.
Roll me coffee, buddy.
Bet, yeah.
You making this or are you buying
it?
Oh,
I'm making it.
You're making it?
After drinking it for a few days.
Give me coffee check.
Let's see. 11.
It is drinkable coffee. It's not the warmest. It's like lukewarm, okay coffee.
It's like I cook it with my fire breath over the pot. It's not actual, like, a steady heat.
Yeah, it's very inconsistent. Like, you take one sip, then cold. Cold. Goal and you then wake up, very hot day. It's like Telev by your side. It wasn't a bang-out kind of night, but it was a...
One bed has Golan and Telev. One has Krolten, and then I'm just on the floor.
Yeah.
Between the two beds.
It's wonderful.
Oh, it's so hot.
Someone kill me I feel like I'm actually in hell already. Give me history checks, everyone.
Everyone?
Yep.
17?
19.
Nat 20 with the special technique.
So, you two, Slayer and Golan, you guys just know that during this time of year, the summer solstice is literally as hot as hell. It is the hottest day of the year, by far, and for thick-furred people like Leonin, it is quite rough.
I was gonna ask, can Slayer be just, like, continuously shedding throughout the day?
Yeah, you are continually shedding layers as you go, like, hair just flowing out of your head. Golan, you just remember when you were younger, when this day came around, your family stayed indoors, where you guys had constant controlled air. And this is one of the first festivals you're, like, one of the first summer solstices you're spending in a non-temperature-controlled environment.
Also, like, the center of the equator of this world, as we know it.
Yeah, you're pretty close to the equator.
It's gonna be a rough one.
With a nat 20, Yurite, you remember back to your research with Alfor. You remember that Mount Golos isn't just the hottest day of the year, whatever, yeah, it's temperature. But it's that way because the veil between the five hells and Ardu is at its literal thinnest, and the veil between all other lower planes gets a little bit thinner the closer you get to the peak of Mogolos, the hottest day of the year. So you know there's an actual reason as to this, and the reason kind of like makes you wake up and like eyes wide immediately. You're like, oh god, it's coming.
Putting on my armor makes sense.
So, you guys all wake up, go downstairs for breakfast. There seems to be a lot more activity than usual. Usually it's like a very quiet morning thing, but there's more Tabaxi and Leonin around. There are a lot more sailors in general. You see all kinds. You see Tritons, similar to what Telev is, but some look like different types of fish, different types of sharks, octopi, etc. You guys see groupings of these ragged-looking lizard folk, dragonborns, and kobolds together. You guys see this group of just harpies and other anthropomorphic creatures all hanging around. Some centaurs, some satyrs. Why can't I think of another one? Some shifters. But the bar is very active this morning. You guys sit down in your usual spots and order your usual breakfasts. Make sure you guys strike the money from that. It was literally like 2 gold or 2 silver a person. We'll say over the entirety of the 9 weeks, subtract 2 gold from your total. And if you've been drinking, an additional 3.
The lucky me. Oh, I gotta strike coffee though.
Yep, that's an additional 1 gold. Not many people order coffee, so it's always inconsistent what he charges you for coffee.
Depends on if he has to make a fresh pot or not.
Yeah. Lost a dice.
Lost a freaking dice, man.
Oh, there it is.
Good week.
So on this day, the first day of the Mogolos Festival, it isn't quite the solstice yet, it's the day before. You guys wake up, you're downstairs, you're eating your breakfast, and you all get a simultaneous bzzz coming from your pockets. You actually feel it through your bag of holding. This is the sending stone that Rima gave you. It's vibrating.
Bzz, 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 bzz.
Can I like dig it out?
Anybody gonna pick that up?
Yeah.
Yurite scoops it out and you put it on. Is it just you hears it or a speakerphone?
I'll put it just to me.
Okay.
At first.
You listen.
And Slayer, like,
yeah, we're all, I'm
listening.
Give me perception checks, room, the two buddy. Of you. No, 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 this is at breakfast.
Oh, breakfast?
Yeah, okay, this is at breakfast that this happens.
Let's get up nice and close.
17?
18?
Yeah, you guys get super, you guys are all hollow around Yurite's ear right now. You hear Rima say, I need to see all of you immediately. Our meeting place, 30 minutes. Don't be late. You hear urgency in her voice. Sounds important.
She said all of us?
She said all of you.
Can I check on Swallow?
Yeah. Give me an investigation check. See if you know where she is. You guys haven't been keeping track of her.
Brock, can 11. I, can I assist him?
Sure. I have advantage.
Go again.
Oh, still 11.
Squall is not in the bar right now. You don't know where she is.
Can I go check her room?
Yeah, you run up to the room, knock on it, and you just hear, and the door opens, and you see Squala standing there, and you see, like, behind her, like, waking up in one of the beds is this stranger you've never recognized. He's like, huh? So that's some, just some guy. He goes, back to bed! And she goes, yeah?
Hi, Squala, sorry to intrude and everything, but I was just making sure you're okay.
Yep, everything's A-okay. And she gives you, like, a wink.
I can tell. Who is that?
Poof! Door closes.
Irritate? Just, like, short conversation?
And this is, like, him running upstairs and running back down to check on Squall as Rima, like, called you, after Rima called you guys.
So he comes back down?
Yep.
Where's Squall?
She seems to be occupied right now with a friend.
Well, I'm assuming you heard since you took off right away. You know we need her to leave in 30 minutes.
Aye. She said just us. She didn't say Squala.
She said all of us.
Give me insight checks.
And why would we leave Squala alone if Rima needs us for this?
All of us?
Your Tang Slayer.
Oh, I have to do too?
Yep. To kind of see if you know what she meant when she said all of you.
19?
16?
You guys can feel that, like, Squala, it didn't sound like she needed Squala there, but also remember that Squala's not supposed to know. You guys remember that Squala's not supposed to know about you guys and Rima's deal.
Oh.
Maybe we can leave Cruelton behind to make sure Squala's okay. Or ask Pincher to take a couple of looks once in a while. Look after her.
We could also ask Zebrith. Because I'm old.
Aye, but Pitcher kind of understands that we might have signed a contract to look after Squala, and I think he'll be willing to look after her for us while we're gone.
Good idea.
If you can find him.
Is Pitcher in the bar?
Yeah. Pitcher is, he's hanging with some of the other huntsmen. It's Biff, Gert, Nader's, like, sitting in the corner. Your athlete's chugging a beer right now.
Kind of walk over to Pitcher and I pull him off to the side.
Yes, yes, what is it?
Hi, Captain. So, we have to go see Rima about the contract, and we were just wondering if you can just keep an eye on Swallow while we're gone.
So, just a side note, as you say Rima, her name doesn't leave your mouth.
Oh, I thought I...
When you try and mention in context of the contract, you said Rima and contract in the same sentence, it censored you.
Okay.
Basically. So, like, you're thinking, like, your sentence is ahead, and as you go to say Rima, just goes, your mouth moves, and the contract, and then it continues on after that. And he goes, he gives you, like, the okay sign, a wink. I got you covered.
Aye, thank you, Captain.
Go, do what you need to do.
I head back over to them.
Okay. You guys all meet back together?
I'm gonna shot my coffee. And I'm Yurte's Cruelton are ready to go. Because we've been prepping like that.
Yep. Cruelton's already ready to go on a long day's journey anyway.
Yeah, we're ready at like at the breakfast table.
I also got ready. I ate my breakfast, said bye to Telev, and I'm ready to go.
Oh, Sire's ready. He's ready to walk out the door now.
Awesome. I don't know, everyone comes with their stuff. Let's go.
I always have my stuff.
No one's attacking us in the morning.
So, you guys all make sure you have your things, exit the bar, and make your way towards Sleaze's hut. There, he opens the door, and immediately he clocks Slayer. It tries to act casual as he leans aside. Hey, Slayer. Handshake. Nice to meet you.
I kind of just wave in front of his hand. Sorry about last time hitting you.
You don't have to worry about that, Slayer.
Maybe I could just, you know, push you down the hole again. We can straighten out that back or something. And I just kind of do, like, an awkward laugh.
Oh, you're a funny one. Like, gives you, like, this weird look. It's very leery at you right now. But he then turns to you two. Oh, hey, guys. Didn't see you there.
Could I just hold out, like, a slight fist bump?
He bumps your fist.
And put my armor away.
Your knuckles are so greasy right
now. I've got gauntlets on.
You look at your gauntlet, it's super shiny. It's like it got polished or something. Yeah,
just kind of like wipes off.
Yeah, you just like do that thing where you wipe the back of your hand against your leg. Krolten just kind of puts his hands up and avoids the hand altogether. I saw what came off of that. I'm not about it, man. Golan, you enter as well. You guys are all led into the tunnel and taken to Rima's chamber. The Cyclops opens the door and you see Rima standing there. She, give me insight checks as you guys walk in.
How much side planes from the Cyclops? 15.
Natural 20.
15.
So, Golan, you're the only one who notices this because she's hiding it very well, but you talked with her the other day, and you've seen her interpersonal reactions a bit more, you know? You've had more of a personal experience with her so far. You can tell she is worried. That there's something, like, there's something getting to her. I'm glad you all came. Now, this is a matter of utmost importance. She takes her wing out. You see a pedestal rise, and she flashes the wing on top of it. And you see lying there the playing card. Almost all black. The thinnest layer of white on the top. And Yurite, you recognize the symbol on it. And that's where we'll end our session. So, thank you all for listening to episode 13. This was a lot of fun. I've been looking forward to this. But next session, we have the Mogolos Festival. Will it be something of fun and joy, or will our crew be on edge the entire time? As always, I'm the Dungeon Master. Our players, hope they had fun as well.
Always.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Follow us on RTF on Instagram at RTFD. Find us on Spotify. Find us on Spotify. That's what it is. It's that bootleg version that you can only get overseas. Spotify. Follow us on Instagram and Spotify. Look up RTFD or at RTFDD&D. Thank you all for listening, and we hope you join us again for our next session. Peace.